Hi, everybody, and welcome to another installment of Decatur Dish. I am Maria Moreau, joined by the one, the only, Dan Wisenhunt with our media partners at Decaturish. This is a show where we like to get you caught up on all things DeKalb County, the latest news headlines and developing stories. First off, Dan, how are you feeling today?
I'm doing good. I want to say for all of you people who are kicked off of Facebook and Instagram right now, I want you to know we're praying for you. We're sorry that you have to get work done. Mark Zuckerberg is going to come out and hand bottled water out and some fidget spinners to keep you from having to do anything.
But
we're going to get through it together.
And we are on YouTube.
That's
you
correct.
You have us on at least one social media
That's
platform
right.
right
It'll
now.
Be okay. We'll all get through it together.
But nice solidarity, a good intro. We have a lot of news stories to cover. Typically here, we like to get into infrastructure, city council movements, proposals. Today is a little heavier with the announcement of a student who unfortunately passed in a fatal car crash on February 24th. I want to just share some of the information with you that has since developed. This was an 18-year-old from Lakeside High School. Now, the student's name and identity is not being released at this time, just out of respect to the parents and family. But this stemmed from a single vehicle accident around midnight on February 24th involving three Lakeside High School students. The 18-year-old who we just mentioned unfortunately did pass. Another student is in the hospital for injuries. And the third, the driver suspected, police say, of driving under the influence, is now facing charges. That is 18-year-old Hannah Hackemeyer. She was arrested at the scene of the crash and taken to the DeKalb County Jail. Now, a lot of things have developed that I just want to get into, and we'll talk about this, Dan. Hannah Hackemeyer is being charged in all of this. She was the suspected driver in this incident. The vehicle overturned when police arrived. They said that at least one female, they have not clarified if it was Hannah or the passengers, was trapped inside. Again, one of the students in the hospital, another unfortunately did not survive. Now, police noted that they, when they responded to the scene, a strong alcoholic odor coming from the car and seeing an open bottle of wine inside the vehicle. They did also say that Hannah, the suspect, did say she was drinking wine that night of the crash, and she did give a breath sample which indicated positive for alcohol. That is according to police. In addition, a search warrant was issued for her blood, which she then gave after being taken to Grady Hospital. The interesting thing in all of this that I wanted to get into with you, Dan, is she was not booked and she is not currently in jail. She was released to her parents.
She was. So my understanding of what occurred there is they took her to the jail to draw a sample of her blood. The report has some interesting things in it in terms of what tests they were and were not able to administer, but they decided to go ahead and take a sample of her blood at the DeKalb County Jail. When that happened, instead of booking her, what tends to happen at the jail is if you're involved in a car crash, they're going to send you to Grady to get evaluated first, and that's because DeKalb County Jail has had a lot of incidents over the past couple of years with inmates passing away and dying in custody. So the protocol there now, as I understand it, is they're going to send you to Grady for an evaluation first before they'll take you in and book you. Usually, or often, what will happen when there's a case involving a DUI and a death, there will be an officer there waiting to take that person back to jail for booking. In this case, DeKalb police decided that since the underlying DUI was a misdemeanor, since DeKalb police, frankly, are short-staffed anyway, they decided to just go ahead and allow her to be released into the custody of her parents. So, obviously, there are a lot of things going on with this case. There's a serious injury. Another student passed away. It's very likely there will be more charges. And this is a real tough thing for the Lakeside High School community. I actually spoke to their journalism class a few weeks ago. And sweet group of kids, very tight-knit community. And I know this is hard for parents and their families, but this is important that we talk about this. And it's important that people know the facts about what happened in this case. And so we're going to continue to cover it. I know our partners in Atlanta News First are going to continue to follow it as well.
And another important part of this, you actually spoke with a spokesperson for investigators who said that the suspect in this only facing misdemeanor charges at this time, but that could very well change. Is that correct?
Yeah, that is a open question right now. I am not entirely sure if there will be a felony in this case. One defense attorney that I know pretty well that I spoke to, he's not related to this case at all, told me that if the underlying crime is a misdemeanor, that all the subsequent charges are misdemeanors. I'm not a legal expert, so I can't speak to that, but that's, I know him pretty well and I trust him, and that is what he told me. But the investigation continues. I asked for a trove of records that I'm not getting right now because they cited the exemption on investigations. So there's going to be more that comes out about this story, unfortunately. And, you know, I know there are some parents who are frankly not very happy that we've continued to follow this story at Decaturish. And I feel for them. I feel for the Lakeside community. I just want to point out that us not talking about it's not going to change what happened. Talking about it very well could make someone reconsider a decision they might make at some future point. So I do think that public awareness and a full public accounting of what happened is important, and we're going to go where the facts take us on this story.
I appreciate all the work that you're doing to stay on top of this. We, of course, are going to continue to follow the story and bring you the latest as well.
Absolutely.
Another major headline out of DeKalb County involving the indictment of two DeKalb County police officers. Now, this was news that we broke to you last week that has since developed with these two officers that you're taking a look at turning themselves in to the DeKalb County Sheriff's Office. Russell Mathis and Jordan Vance are the two officers. They were indicted in connection to a 2022 case involving 37-year-old DeKalb County resident Mirando Salmon. Now, just to give you the synopsis that the district attorney for DeKalb County gave us about this case, this stemmed from a phone call involving a suspected stolen vehicle that was parked in a driveway. These officers responded to that residence where the vehicle was parked and went inside the home to check it. Now, apparently, and this is according to the district attorney's office, both of the officers went up to the second floor bedroom where they encountered the owner of the home, Mirando Salmon, sitting on his bed in the dark. Now, Salmon had reportedly thrown a cell phone at Officer Mathis shortly before Officer Mathis fired a fatal shot. That since led to an investigation that has involved the Georgia Bureau of Investigation, law enforcement, and now was placed in the hands of the district attorney's office, which led to it being presented in front of a grand jury and that grand jury deciding to indict. So these two officers turning themselves in a few days later, now with the DeKalb County Sheriff's Office. Not a common occurrence that happens when we hear two officers being indicted and then now in the jail where they typically put people away.
Yeah, it's not. And even more important to consider is the context. DeKalb County has an officer shortage right now. And of course, I would never advocate not prosecuting someone because of that. But it does add an element of political tension as the county is trying to navigate accountability for police while also navigating people's concerns about public safety. I read the charges. I read the indictment. I was surprised that they were indicted. I don't know all the facts of the case, but there was definitely an element of you don't see that every day. Normally, it's one, not two different officers. Apparently, one is still employed with DeKalb County Police. I don't know what his status is, but there are definitely some risks involved politically in prosecuting police officers. It's a very high bar in a lot of jurisdictions, but if you'll recall, the district attorney was at one point on the task force prosecuting the people who were accused of activities at the Cop City site, and she backed out of that as well and turned it over to someone. I think involved the officer shooting over there, and she backed out of that case as well. So these cases are always politically fraught decisions for prosecutors. I don't really have too much to add to the case. I do believe this individual lived in Stone Mountain, and I believe he was accused of throwing a cell phone, which the officer said they thought was a knife, yes. and fired back. So there you go. These cases are always tough politically for prosecutors, and I will be following it closely because I'm interested to see where this goes and what the outcome will be. And I know our partners in Atlanta News First will be as well.
And just for everyone, the latest of what we know on this, Officer Mathis remains in custody on an $8,000 bond. Officer Vance was released on a $3,000 bond. So we're going to, of course, continue to follow this. A lot still ahead for this headline for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Another one, and I promise we will get you some good news at some point during this show, but an important conversation to have. Recently, a historical marker that memorializes, Black victims of lynching in DeKalb County was stolen. This from the NAACP county chapter, saying that that marker represented the Remembrance Project linking markers, and those are set up to remind people of history, of the uncomfortable parts of history that must never be forgotten. This particular marker was unveiled in Kelly Park near City Hall back in 2021 by the city of Lithonia, and it tells the story of Reuben Hudson. He was a black man who was lynched in Reedon in 1877, and two unidentified black men who were tragically lynched 5 years later in DeKalb County. Now, the NAACP said the Lithonia Police Department is investigating this as a theft. Dan, any thoughts on this?
It happened during Black History Month, which was, sort of added to the pain of that. We don't know when exactly it was stolen. We don't know who did it. We don't know what the potential motive is. The NAACP released a statement saying it's an attempt to erase history. It could very well be. Kind of alludes back to the thing we were talking about earlier. Some of these discussions are uncomfortable, and DeKalb County and a lot of communities, frankly, have really tried to bury a lot of the unpleasant parts of their past. And lynching is one of those things that it did happen. It was racist terrorism against black people, and we can't really fully understand some of the political discussions we're having now without acknowledging and understanding what happened back then. I don't have much more to add than that, but hopefully someone will get to the bottom of it and the marker will be returned, or they'll put a new marker out there probably if that doesn't happen.
And Lithonia police are asking if you have any information or know anything, do contact them. The investigation is still active and ongoing.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Dan, we got to talk about this because you are a father, you are a journalist in the DeKalb County community, and this has impacted a lot of parents. I'm talking about North Druid Hills School cafeteria failing their health inspection with a whopping 63. Now, 63 out of 100, and that includes several violations, including an employee returning from using the bathroom without washing their hands, improper food storage of milk, lasagna, beans, and cheese burritos that were stored above 41 degrees, two boxes of expired yogurt, spaghetti cooling at room temperature, salads being prepared without using proper cooling methods, and a main kitchen hand sink that was inoperable. Now, in addition, the health inspector's report states that the walk-in cooler was not able to maintain temperatures of 41 degrees or lower, which is the standard. So this was shocking because this school in years past has received, just in October, the score was 86. In March 2023, the school had a perfect score. So to see this happening, it was really unexpected, especially when you're talking about a school cafeteria that serves so many children.
Yeah, it was nasty. It was very nasty. My family's owned for that school, in full disclosure, so the news did not land well. So the way that story unfolded, I actually had jury duty yesterday, and somebody emailed me and said, can you get to this? And I said, I'll get to it. And after I got dismissed, I emailed the county spokesperson. Within a couple of hours, Druid Hills High had notified the parents. They sent a letter out. The county sent us a letter. The whole thing is has blown up, but the school nutrition is expected to maintain a basic level of standards and hygiene. What's interesting to me and what I would like to know more of is in March of last year, they had 100. Mm-hmm. And then in October, it dipped to 83. And now we're at a 60, or it was 88 or something.
There's the 60. Health score, by the way, on your screen. You can see it.
It's not great. So it makes me wonder, has there been some kind of personnel or leadership change over there that might explain some of what's going on? I don't know. Health inspections are, and health inspectors are notoriously pretty persnickety, as they should be, especially when it comes to the health of what's going on in our kids' cafeterias. The school said they're going to get a portable freezer to fix some of the storage and cooling issues they've got going on. I assume they're going to tell people to wash their hands after going to the bathroom. That's kind of, I'm not a food safety expert by any means, but that's kind of food safety 101. It was really shocking. A lot of people were really shocked by it. And frankly, if the media hadn't asked, I don't know if it would have been a matter of public knowledge. But hopefully they can get it together really soon and get those standards back in place so they can continue serving healthy meals to our kids. A lot of kids, that's the only meals they get.
Yeah.
Is at the school. So it's kind of important that they do it and do their job well. It's not one of those you had one job situation, but I mean really they've got one job, which is to make sure that they're handling things in an appropriate manner. I have no doubt they will get it together, especially now that every journalist in the world is calling DeKalb County Schools and asking them what's going on here. So I suspect they'll right that ship pretty quickly.
And as you mentioned, both the school and the school district came out, released statements to parents, to the right. media, saying that they are aware and addressing this. A lot of parents do watch this show. Anything that you could tell them, either as a community journalist, parent to parent, as they are waiting to see that score bump up into a safe level?
I would tell them that I would be shocked if it isn't already fixed. That kind of attention usually gets someone's bell rung, and usually those things get fixed pretty quick. Anything that draws that kind of negative attention usually does, and that's true with restaurants and everything else. But if you want to pack a lunch, you know, it's your right to do that. Certainly wouldn't blame you, but I do suspect that they're going to get it together pretty quickly if they haven't already to correct those issues. That's typically what happens. But if they don't, hey,
we'll
just a follow-up story. Yeah, we'll write a follow-up. Hopefully we won't have to write that follow-up, but we'll check into it either way. We'll make sure we update if they pass the second inspection, which they should with flying colors, one hopes, after this sort of thing. But we will see.
Well, hey, speaking of stories that have got people talking, this is another installment of Talk of the Town.
Yes.
It is stories that people are talking about on social media within the DeKalb County community. And this is a pretty exciting one, one that Decaturish actually brought forward, featuring a Decatur resident that is bringing some big changes to his community.
Yep, there's going to be a semi-pro women's soccer team in Decatur. Zoe Seiler broke that story. She's a huge soccer nerd. We've gone to United games together, and she loves the sport. I think she played in college, so she's very excited. They're going to use the Decatur High football field in the off season. They're going to play about 8 games. I want to get the gentleman's name right. It's Gareth O'Sullivan.
There he is on your screen.
Right, and I believe he owns a restaurant downtown. And they're going to get a roster of 25 players together, and we're going to have soccer in Decatur, y'all. What can't beat that, especially in the summer. If you're looking for something to do, you can go by the square downtown, lift something frosty up, have a drink, and then walk on over there to the soccer game. It should be a lot of fun. We're already planning a team outing to go cheer the team on. I think they're going to be called Decatur FC. So mm-hmm. No notes. I mean, it's a great decision. I also think we didn't report this yet, but we're working on it. I also think the Atlanta Roller Derby team is going to be moving over to Agnes Scott as well. So we're going to be having a lot of really interesting, fun sports going on in our community soon that we can all take time to enjoy, and hopefully we'll get out there and support.
I always say there is constantly something happening at DeKalb County, growing, building. The inaugural season for this soccer team starts May 24th. Now tryouts, and forgive me if I'm wrong, but tryouts are already planning process.
Yeah, they're building the team, building the roster, and they've got a coach lined up. So it's coming together. It's going to happen pretty quickly. So we'll be following it as well. We like I said, we're planning a team outing to go out there and cheer them on. So it's just a win-win all around. There's no notes. It's going to be a good thing for the community, I think.
So this is a weekly show we like to do at 12:30 every Tuesday, and we hope you can join us on Roku, Apple TV, Fire TV, or YouTube Live. But in the meantime, the news never stops. Dan, where can people connect with Decaturish?
Glad you asked. So they can go to Decaturish.com. That's our main website. They can go to locallysourcednews.com to sign up for our email. If they want to support us with a subscription, they can go to supportyourlocalnews.com. And for a mere $10 a month, which is cheaper than most meals in Decaturish County, you can keep the local news free and out from behind the paywall. Another great way to support us, go ahead and download that Atlanta News First Plus app. It is free. It's a great way to support our partners at Atlanta News First, and you'll get access to all episodes of this show and all the other great content produced by our partners at ANF.
With that, we will see y'all next Tuesday at 12:30 right here on Atlanta News First Plus. Make it a great day.
See you next week.